Hello and welcome to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. How are you doing? How are you living? I hope you're all doing well. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, we appreciate you for checking out the show. My guests this time around is the excellent Atreyu. I got the chance to sit down with Brandon and Dan of Atreyu for a chat all about their brand new EP, A Torch in the Dark. I love Atreyu. I have been a fan of Atreyu for a very, very long time. So when I got the opportunity, when this email initially came through that Atreyu was sort of doing stuff and in terms of the EPs and things, and I sort of sent a speculative email out to their PR and was like, look, I'm going to level with you. I love this band. I'd love to have them on the podcast. It took a little while to get sorted, but we got it sorted. We got it nailed down, and I am so thankful to the lovely Helen, their PR people, for sorting that one out for us. Absolutely lovely. This was a really, really great conversation. We sat down for around 45 minutes to chat all about Atreyu. It was absolutely fantastic. So we really, really hope you enjoy it. There's plenty of content incoming as well. This is actually a bonus podcast that, because we've got so much content recorded and ready to release, this has got to go out on a this is like an extra podcast for you guys to listen to. So we hope you share it about. We hope you enjoy it. And I just want to say a massive thank you to Brandon and to Dan for their time. And obviously, of course, Helen for sorting this one out for us. If you'd like to help support the show, you can by sharing our stuff on social media, telling a friend about the podcast. We also have a Patreon page, which is patreon.com/nevermindpolypodcast. Until then, enjoy the podcast, and we will see you in a couple of days for another banger of a podcast. We'll see you all very soon. Peace and love. Welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt. I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this time around, we've got a band whose career I've followed for a very, very long time. I'm sat down with the excellent Atreyu. I've got Dan and I've got Brands on the line. How are you doing, gents? How's things?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm very good. I was just discussing with Dan, in a very rainy England, which is pretty typical. But how's your both mornings going? All okay?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I actually just moved to Nashville a few months ago, and this morning was the first frost I experienced. Everything was just frozen. So it's cold as hell here too.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, like I say, not to get too heavy on the weather real quick, but like I say, England just rains, and I don't know why anyone who's not from the UK would go, England raining? Never. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like it's a given at this point. We are obviously here to talk about your brand new EP, which is called A Torch in the Dark. It is out tomorrow as we have this conversation. It will be out everywhere as this conversation goes out and things. My first kind of initial question is, how are you both feeling ahead of its release? And you've been a band for a very long time at this point. You've been 20 plus years in the game. Do you ever still get that kind of nerve of releasing a record, releasing an EP, and kind of gone, here's our baby we've worked on for so many months into the world?
Yeah. Why don't you take this one, Dan?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, whenever you put out anything new, I mean, it's exciting, slash, you know, a little bit, you know, what's the world going to think, you know, I mean, you put it out and you're proud of it. And, you know, in that moment, you put everything you got into it to make sure that it feels right in every sort of way. Because, I mean, you know, that's the only way you can put something out if it's something that you're just truly behind in every sort of way. And having this come out and be a record that this deep in our career that is already off the EPs and stuff, having some of the best traction we've had with fans and with radio and internationally, it's just it's really exciting. I mean, it puts a lot of it gives us a lot of excitement and reason to want to just keep going nuts and keep touring like crazy and stuff, because it's you can feel people being excited about it, and I think that's helps us, you know, going into this coming out, be a lot more excited about it and a lot more confident that, you know, we're on the right track and both with us and with the way it's resonating with fans.
Absolutely.
I feel like too, it's the way we've been releasing EPs. It's like, you know, we put out the first EP and it was like, people kind of went mad for Drowning. Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, like, awesome. You like that. It's like, in our heads, you're like, oh, you haven't even fucking heard Gone yet. And then that comes out, you know, on the second EP, and it's like, oh, the people are going crazy for Gone, and then you're like, oh, but you haven't even heard I or Come Down. Like for me, it's exciting to be like, ah, you ain't heard nothing yet. Like, so I think there's more like excitement within our band too, because it's like we know what's coming, and you know what I mean. So it's like we know, you know, we kind of planned all these EPs in a way where each one had kind of those shining moments, and it's definitely. I think for me, maybe you too, Dan, these days it's more exciting than nervous to release music, because it's like we know we're proud of it. We put everything that we have into the music, so it's like once it's out, it's like okay, well, it's not even doesn't matter what we think anymore. It's just we did our part, and we did, you know, we put everything that we wanted to in the music. So now it's just yours to enjoy.
Absolutely. And it's something that I've said to a lot of bands at varying different levels and things. When you put something good with a positive intention into the world, because you can sit on X, formerly Twitter, whatever, and just spout a load of shit, and people do, and then like that they get off on that every day. But like if you're like going creating music, art, culture, whatever you're trying to produce, and it comes from a good place, if people hate on it, it's like, okay, fine, just go do something else. Like, do you know what I mean? So it is kind of you're producing it from a place of love and kind of like this is what we want to project to the world. So that's super cool. Something I wanted to touch on as well is the kind of the three EP kind of trilogy and the way you've kind of gone about that. And so again, probably my limited knowledge of bands just generally in that respect. I think the only band I can liken you guys doing that kind of thing similar to was the Bring Me the Horizon, because they've kind of done the 2-3 EP thing. And I think it's really cool because when you look outside of the walls of rock and metal and punk and all the rest of it, you look at like hip hop and things like that. They're just dropping singles and EPs and things like that all the time. And it keeps people like fresh and hungry. And that's kind of part of the good thing, but part of the problem sometimes in the 20th century and things with the social media and stuff is it's always needing feeding. And that's the thing, if you can go away and write an album for a year and a half and then release it, and then like you say, the singles will bang, everything else, you'll go out and do the tours, and then it's kind of like cool, but I really wanted song 7 to hit. Like, do you know what I mean? And people don't, I mean, I do, but a lot of people don't kind of listen to music in the conventional way they used to. Buying a CD, buying a record, buying a tape, and listening to it all the way through. Was that, does that play into kind of how you feel about doing the EPs versus doing a conventional quote unquote album?
Yeah, I mean
Absolutely.
that is, yeah, I mean the,
Wow.
yeah, I mean people aren't digesting music like you said the way that they used to, and if you're going to put as much time and effort as bands do into putting together a collection of songs, let alone one, you know, I mean some artists it can take you months to get one song complete and perfect, you know,
For sure.
so it's something that, you know, if you're going to put that much value and that much of your heart and your time, you know, which is the most valuable things you can put into anything, if you're going to put that much into that, you want to get the most you can out of it. You want the most ears on it and stuff. You want it to vibrate with the most amount of people. And if doing a full album is not going to get that to people in that way, then it's like, well, we got to think of other ways. And it doesn't necessarily meaning just EPs. There's so many different combinations of things you can kind of get creative with it. But you can, you know, call it whatever you want to call them. But yeah, it's the new way, at least for now, you know, until you know, putting out CDs and full albums becomes the new vinyl, and people want to start collecting that again and caring about that.
Well, I think that's too. It's funny you bring that up. It's like I think the discussions within our band in wanting to do things this way is one, it's important for us that all the songs get their kind of moment in the sun. And I think too though that this you could still tell a story in this kind of fashion. Whereas like I think a lot of people think if you lose albums, you kind of lose more of the like overarching intention, and like there's kind of a theme that runs through all these EPs that leads into the full length, and there's still something for people like yourself that want a full album, and there's still the vinyl aspect and the collector's aspect and the whole overarching kind of story. But at the same time, for the majority of people that just want some new music, it's great for them too, because one thing I've noticed all year long is people are like, holy shit, more new Atreyu? Like again, like our fans are excited that it's like every few months there's something new, and I think there's something important to that, to kind of like keep people's focus. You know, there's a million bands out there, so it's like I know as a kid, I would be stoked to a new song every few months from one of my favorite bands. So it's proving to work pretty successfully.
Yeah,
It's
that's go on, sorry, Dan.
I'll say it's my last little kind of analogy.
Yeah,
It's kind of
sure.
like the way people scroll through stuff and doom scroll through things, you know, like if you just were to put out one video on there and there's people doom scroll and they come across your video and they're like, oh, this is awesome, you know, like a new video or whatever. And then if you don't put anything else out in that whole video with like if that was to say your album, you get that one shot at yay, and then they that dopamine hit of excitement comes and then it goes and they move on. You know, but if you want to continue that, yay, you want to keep scrolling and keep running across the same things over and over again as you scroll, you know, you got to keep pumping out stuff or feed it to people in a different way, you know? So it's like, we still give you the record, but we just feed it to you, you know, over time as instead of giving it to people right away, because you can even see statistically looking at streams on songs that we put money behind or we put attention to or put to radio or that we play on tour, like, the songs that you do that to and do that collection of everything, those are the ones that have the highest streams. And then the ones that didn't get any of that sort of light don't have as many streams as those songs. And it's like you're like, okay, well, how do we, you know, when increase the streams, you know, you can mean that literally, but also even just increasing just people on the planet doesn't have to be, you know, anything to do with that platform. Just listening to your music, it's like, well, what are we missing here? What are we doing wrong here? Because we feel strongly about all these songs. We don't feel like these are so much better than these, and this is why this is happening. It just feels like, you know, they're not getting their light in the sun, their
Absolutely.
day in the sun.
That's why we're trying to do the same thing with videos too. Like we put out more fucking videos so far with this collection of music than we ever had before. And there's a shitload more coming. So it's like one of those things we're just getting in front of people's faces. You know, it's like I said, there's a fucking million bands. So in order to be one that people focus, it's like it's not just about writing good songs anymore. It's like writing good songs, being a killer live band, and just being in people's general thought bubble, you know?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I'm very, very kind of lucky, I guess, because I was at the perfect age when you guys kind of broke through. I got to you into you guys on the second album and things. And you've been a band since 1998, right? With 8 studio records, 4 EPs to date, countless singles, countless videos, 25 years in a band, right? So my kind of question is, has the life of a band, being in a band, gotten easier, less stressful over time, or is it just kind of an evolving kind of thing that keeps progressing in that respect?
Guardlife is our band has gotten better. I think that we feel, I think that we have had these strange opportunities where we sort of like re kind of like, you know, reinvigorated ourselves multiple times through our career. And a lot of bands don't get that opportunity. And I think that because of that, I think that there's so much that we've yet to accomplish, and there's so many things that we still want, and so many milestones that we still want to hit, that it's like we're like 25 years in. I think we're arguably more hungry than we were as teenagers. You know what I mean? It's like we genuinely enjoy this more than we ever have now, and it's like it shows in the live show. I think you can hear it in the music. So it's like for us, like I feel like we forget that we've been a band for this long.
For sure.
Like especially we'll be on tour with bands, and it's like bands that have been around less than us, and you know, had shorter careers than us, then they're like fried and burnt out. And we're like, our dressing room door is always open on tour because we want to like have fun and we're hanging and we're like jovial and like fucking having a good time, like a bunch of brothers. And other bands even are kind of like, what the fuck's wrong with you? It's like, aren't you tired? Like, aren't you whatever? But I think it's just like we find legitimate joy in this still. And I think even now, more so than ever. So,
That's perfect.
what a
That's
good
perfect.
spot.
Anything to add, Dan?
Sorry, I spaced out there for a second. What
It's
were we
okay.
talking about?
It's all good.
The gardener's here. I can hear him in the background buzzing, and I'm kind of like.
essentially, being in the band for 25 plus years, kind of has it got more stressful, more easy? Kind of how have you found the kind
Oh,
of
yeah.
the progression in that time?
Yeah, I mean, it's become a lot less stressful, I'd say that. I think we've done it long enough. We've kind of found our groove of what makes us comfortable on all levels, you know, musically, on touring wise, as far as how we tour, like just our mood on tour, the even the type of people that we work with, like everything that we do, we create a community that's a good vibe, and where everyone's appreciated for what they do and respected. And like it takes a while sometimes to learn that kind of stuff. Like when we come into this game when we're in our late teens, touring the world, having no idea what the hell we're doing, you're just kind of a fiery mess, just figuring it out, and a lot of bands don't make it long enough to really truly figure it out. They fall short before then. And if you are lucky enough to be able to keep going, you learn so much as long as you just keep going. Like you're inevitably going to learn so much. And we are, as a band now, we're coming in with 25 years of experience. I mean, there's not that many bands in our genre that have that, and that there's a lot of value in that. And you can see it at our shows. You can feel it in our music. And it feels good to us. Like like I said, and we've learned so much over the years, even with working with different producers over the years and different songwriters and different people touring with different bands. Like that collection of everything is so unique to our band. Like only we have done the exact combination of all the things that we've done and taken all the best things from all that and putting all of that into the recipe that is our band. And it tastes fucking good.
Absolutely. And
How sick would it be? How sick would it be if Dan zoned out just now and then said pretty much like the exact opposite of what I said? I'm so glad our answers were just very much aligned, Dan. It would have been sick if you're like, yeah, it's a fucking nerve-wracking hell. And being in a band, well, like it would have been so awesome if we were just polar opposites. But we weren't, Dan. You did good.
I
Nailed
love
you're like that kid that falls asleep in class and somehow says the right answer when the teacher calls home.
I love
No,
that.
I was zoning out listening to your story, and I was just like, oh, okay, this is nice. And then after a bit, like I realized, I'm like, I don't remember what we're talking about. I just know that we're talking about our band in some sort of form. Band stuff. Yeah, Treyu and stuff.
So we're having this conversation, obviously, November 2023. 2024 is a big year for your band because it's 20 years anniversary of the second album. I have to ask, just on a personal, completely selfish level, anything in the pipeline regarding that? Is there anything happening, or is it just a case of yeah, celebration, and then that's kind of the thing? Because fans love a bit of nostalgia. As long as moving forward is always happening, people love to look back, and me personally, again, I fucking love that record. So.
There's not a whole lot so far. I have a feeling we will end up celebrating in some way, shape, or form.
For sure.
Just a matter of what that ends up being. It's not lost on us that that album is a landmark, piece of our history. So I'm sure there will be some fun to be had.
Lovely stuff, lovely stuff. So something that I kind of, and again, please correct me if you feel like I'm wording this incorrect or this is not how you feel. But to me personally, this kind of feels like the second era post reformation of the band. So obviously, the Curse all the way through to Congregation of the Damned was so fucking integral to my teenage years. And when you guys kind of went on hiatus and done different things, like it was one of those things that was, ah, oh, fuck. That really, really sucks ass. And I don't want to make you feel bad, but like, do you know what I mean, right? So when you guys came back in 20. So when you guys came back in 2014, I was kind of like, ah, oh, fucking sick. They're back. This is fucking awesome. I want to kind of ask if we can, what was kind of the catalyst that sort of brought you guys together again? Because, like, when bands kind of gone, hey, it's kind of, you're in that kind of weird, we're on a break kind of thing, and no one really knows. And I just wanted to ask kind of, what was the catalyst that kind of brought you guys together? Or was it just a case of needing some time away from the band and things?
It was Dan. I'll just go ahead and say it. It was Dan. We stopped touring, and I think that everyone kind of went on to do their own thing. And I got many a calls from Dan while I was on tour with my other bands, like, "Hey man, like let's have some talks. Like, what do you think? Like, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Dan, I'm in like St. Louis. Like, I'm not ready for that." And Dan was always the one that was kind of like kicking. And at the time, full transparency, at the time, myself and our old singer weren't at the best of, but
For
we
sure.
weren't having a, we didn't have a great relationship. We didn't really talk much in that hiatus. And he was always the one that was like, "Maybe, get out and call, like, what's up? Maybe just sit down and have a chat, whatever." And so ultimately it was Dan. It was Dan that got the two of us together. It was Dan that got the five of us at a lunch to just talk about what our band was and what we felt like we should do and if we should do anything. And so if it wasn't for Dan, there would be potentially there would the Trey would have come back, but it would have probably been later if it wasn't for Dan.
For sure. How do you kind of remember it and feel about it, Dan? Was it a case of like you say, as Brandon says, just kind of like gone, why don't you just like hook up? How did you feel about it that time?
I mean, it's one of those things where when we initially went on hiatus, like it kind of ties into the big picture of everything we're even talking about right now. Like for sure. As far as there's this new fresh wave of things, the pendulum swings every 10 years. And it's something with 25 years of being a band that we've been able to see. Mm-hmm. As the pendulum swings, things become popular and less popular. 2000 to 2010 was the era of what we do. Mm-hmm. And then in the last 10 years, it was kind of like a more like a DJs and hip hop and things like that. Mm. So when we went on hiatus, it was at the tail end of that wave where we could feel the shift. We could feel the pendulum swinging, and like the style of music we were doing was just not like the cool thing at the moment. People wanted other stuff. So we felt that, and we felt like maybe like we're kind of losing ourselves a little bit here, and we don't want to like make the wrong step, or like, let's just take a step back for a second and like kind of feel this out because this feels weird now.
Yeah.
And in doing that, we, you know, in that 4-year period of time, I mean, I know all of us in one way or another had it in the back of our heads. Cause that's all we'd been doing for years, you know, that's mm-hmm. what we grew up doing. It's our identity and everything. And, yeah, like it was one of those things where, you know, I figured I'd just kind of reach out to everyone. I was probably the one person that was still communicating with everybody in the band. I don't think everybody individually was talking to anybody collectively. It was mostly me. And I realized that. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to kind of keep feeling everybody out here. And I just kind of started poking, you know, every like 6 months, you know, and every 8 months, some I just kind of poke here and there and just kind of feel everyone out, feel where they're at. We're all doing other things. And none of them, you know, none of them were as fruitful in, you know, as far as what it brought to our lives on so many levels as being in a Trey U. So it eventually just kind of, you know, connected itself. We didn't have an Instagram at the time. Yeah. I knew, like, I could feel it in my gut. I was like, I know this is going to come back. I'm going to freaking get this shit. So I started us an Instagram, and nice. I started going and like liking anybody that hashtag Atreyu. Because I'm like, how do we get people to know that we're on this thing, you know? Because mm-hmm. We kind of missed that wave of all that kind of coming in. We came into the tail end of all that when it like started. So we're like, oh man, every band's on this Instagram thing. We probably should do that. And I probably should get a band back together to have this Instagram. So
I love that. So
it was more about Instagram. I didn't care about the band. I just wanted an Instagram.
I love that. So I wanted to touch on as well, you are going to be jetting off to the UK and Europe on a big tour and things. How is tour prep, as I put in my notes, coming along? And what does that kind of entail for a band like yourselves? Is it just a case of packing the guitars and going, packing the mic and going, right, we're off? Or what does that kind of entail for you guys?
I mean, we all do. We live all around. We live separate around the fucking world at this point.
For sure.
Porter lives in Germany. I live in Nashville. Dan lives in Simi Valley, which is like very, very north LA. Mm-hmm. Travis lives about 2 hours south of him. And Kyle lives about an hour and a half south of Travis. Sure. So like no one's in the same place. So usually when we, you know, luckily, you know, we only have a handful of kind of new songs to like learn. But we're actually just, our tour prep will be in Dublin, Ireland, a couple days before the tour starts. Nice. That's kind of what we've been doing is, you know, kind of just meeting up wherever the tour starts, you know, a couple of days early, go through, get the set together and kind of like prep. And I think that luckily over the last year or so, it's like we have sort of a skeleton of the songs that we're going to play with kind of, you know, making some changes here, or make this song different. So it's kind of interesting live, or, you know, we did this on the last tour, so let's change that, maybe add in some new stuff. And, but we're kind of locked and loaded until we get together in Dublin.
I mean, it sounds like quite a collaborative thing because as I kind of mentioned before, eight albums and, you know, countless EPs and stuff. It's a big old collection of songs to choose from. Who comes up with the initial kind of shell and the skeleton of that? And is there any kind of...
Spotify. Yeah, Spotify.
Yeah, fair enough. Sure.
Modern streaming analytics have become paramount in choosing our set list. I mean, even down to the country, we can be like, cool, like, oh, this song does better in the UK than it does in the States, or this song does really good in Germany. Like, let's add that into the set there. And I feel like we've always been the band that kind of like played the hits, so to speak. But we've tried to like put in, you know, kind of a deep cut or like a random, just like personal favorite. And like a lot of times we're just stinkers live. And like for me, I think all of us, it's important to us that like there's just good energy the whole show.
Yeah.
Like, if there's going to be a down moment, it's because we plan on having a down moment. And it's like, we want to take you to that down moment. We don't want to have any, like, we call them bar songs. Like, we don't want to be like, that's the song that you go get a beer. So I feel like a lot of our set has kind of always been, it's like, it's our fan favorites. It's what people are listening to the most. And luckily there, you know, we have such a catalog that we can kind of fill a pretty, pretty extensive headline set with that. And still be able to play like a good handful of new songs and kind of like get, you know, get interesting and stuff.
Yeah. The top 20 has a little bit of every album in it. So it's, you know, if we wanted to play for that long, I don't know if we'd, maybe we'd play for several hours at some point, but probably not. Be draining, screaming and shit for that long and running around. But yeah, just the top 20 is pretty loaded with just stuff from every record, which is, even for us, is pretty cool. It's not like top 20 is like our first three records and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool to see that it resonates over and over again. So the for us, it keeps it exciting too, playing a little bit of everything. And you know, statistically, that the majority of people come to the show are going to hear everything that they want to hear, as opposed to, you know, like, we're like DJs, you know, in the sense of like, you know, DJs have to feel the room and make sure that they're playing the right stuff. You know, a good DJ isn't just, it's playing the right stuff at the right time, you know, so that people keep that energy up, you know, and you can feel it. Part of being up on the stage and overseeing everyone is that you can see everyone's reaction. The lights are on them a lot of times. So you're like, okay, so I can see who's dancing, who's got their hands in the air, who's moshing. And if they're not doing enough of what we want, then we have to kick it up.
Absolutely.
So you learn from all that.
Even like, it's funny because you tell, like, even if people are going wild, say you're playing a new song, right? And like, it's a lesser known because it's new. You could still see, like, if there's a head bob or there's like some people singing, you're like, you can feel that whether it's working or not. And we are never too proud. We have tried to put songs in or tried to put medleys in or little things like that.
Yeah.
And like, if there's stinkers for more than a night or two, we're like, man, that's fucking out.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
You know, we want to keep it ripping.
Absolutely. So something I've asked sort of pretty much every band that's been on the podcast this year is, can you name me something that you physically cannot live without whilst on tour? It can be something really simple. It can be something really like important to your live show, or something personal, something you just like when you're packing like your passport and like your house keys and whatever else and go, oh shit, I mustn't forget this thing. What would it be?
I think I'm going to go, I could go obvious, like my phone, like I was connected to my phone.
For sure.
By my phone, but I'm going to go less obvious. We have this thing on tour called a Navage.
Right.
It's like if you're familiar with a neti pot, you ever know what a neti pot is? Like to clean out your nose.
Okay, right.
So, a Navage is essentially an automatic thing. It's quite disgusting.
Right.
It shoots saline, like salt water, in one nostril. And then
I'm with you.
Sucks it out the other one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just like being in like dusty, smoky venues and on a bus and whatever, like it just constantly clears out your nose, helps you not be congested, which for singing is fantastic for me. That's been a staple for me on tour. Like a handful of us do that shit like every single day. And it helps you not get sick on tour, helps you with congestion, makes singing better. It's a staple for me.
Absolutely. How about you, Dan?
As of recently, it would be my saxophone.
Yeah, nice. I can appreciate a good saxophone. Like, yeah, Matt. So talk to me about your saxophone. Oh, was it which one? Nice.
Yeah, this is a thing that started back in March. I got the itch to start playing the saxophone. And I ordered one off Amazon, like a starter one, just to kind of get the feel of it. And this was about 3 weeks before a headlining tour we were about to go on. And I'd taken three lessons up to this point and could like barely squeeze out some notes kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I showed them at practice, and I had already horrified them by buying a violin last time we were in England and trying to play at the back lounge. And so when they saw that I brought in a saxophone, they're like, "Oh my fucking God, this is going to be the most ridiculous thing ever." And I showed them that I could play something, and they were like, "That's actually not as bad as we thought. You should go on stage every night for our encore, and you should play that." And I was like, "Really? All right." So I started going on stage and doing it. And as I started doing this more and more, I started to notice myself progressing pretty fast for a new instrument, to where it kind of made it really exciting for me. And now I've become completely addicted to it.
Oh,
And
that's really cool, man. I love that.
yeah, it's super fun. And recently, Brandon's dad gave me his old saxophone that he had from when he was a kid, that was vintage even when he was a kid. And it's an old 1925 Con Neuwander II Chew Berry model, which is
Nice.
a really awesome old instrument that I just had refurbished, and yeah, get to treat myself to. It's all about the classic old saxophones. That's the way.
Yeah, man, that's fucking sick. I think that's probably the sickest answer I've had all year. So thank you very much for that. I love that.
I did it. That was my goal, so.
lovely job. So as I said previously, been in the band for 25 years, right? So I'm hoping you've got some gold for me. Where is the weirdest or the strangest place you've ever played a show? Now, I'm going to preface this. It doesn't have to be negative, because I think a lot of people go, we played to show, there was five people and a dog, whatever. Like, just you've been sent to a venue, you've arrived at a venue, and you all look around each other and go, well, who the fuck booked this then? Like, how are we here? Like, do you know what I mean?
I have two that are very memorable. Both are early days of touring. One of them was in like Muskogee, Oklahoma. And it was at in this giant like skate park. It was like a skateboard park, and they had like foam pits and stuff.
For
And they
sure.
literally had us playing on top of the snack bar. So like we were on the roof of the snack bar, so we were like 15, 18 feet above everyone. We had to like load our stuff up with like ladders.
Nice.
That was definitely strange because you could even really see us. And then another one, the very, very early days, there's a lake in a really shitty lake in Southern California called Lake Elsinore that you go on, like you take boats out on and stuff. And us and Avenged Sevenfold played a Halloween show on the beach. Like they
Right.
built a stage out of wood. When I say stage, I use that term loosely,
Yeah,
but
for
we
sure.
played on the beach in Lake Elsinore, like on the sand.
Nice,
That was pretty
nice.
cool.
There's a festival we played in Norway years ago called the Hove Festival on an island called Hove Island. And it's the only festival I've ever been to that just everything about it was just like something, I don't know, felt like something out of a movie that like you would see about, rock festivals or something. You could, because it was on an island, you had two options. You could either take a shuttle in, set up by the venue, or you could come in by boat if you would like.
Speedboat.
So yeah, so the boats were all local people that like hired out their boats in one way or another to this festival. And some of the options that came with this, one was, so you can come in and out on boat, which is awesome. There was the option to go fishing if you wanted to. And any of these people would
Amazing.
take you out at any given time during the day. You just go out in Norway in this bay and go fishing. We were like, yeah, have to go do that. That's insane. And then so then it's because it's on a beach, they just put like couches in the sand and stuff and had this like whole bar area.
For sure.
Where because of the time of the year and where the location of, it is in the world, the sun doesn't go down. So you'd be there at midnight and the sun's like still up while you're sitting on the beach and partying and stuff. They
Nice.
had in catering. Catering normally you just walk in, hand them a ticket or something like that, and you just grab a plate and you go through. It's usually a buffet sort of situation. This was like set up like a restaurant
Amazing.
where you'd go to the front and they'd be like, okay, how many is your party? And we're like, oh, there's, six of us, or they're like, okay, and like we'll bring you to your table, and they'd seat you and they'd give you menus and you'd order off the menu
Oh, it's amazing.
what you wanted to get. They had what you've got a barber there, you can get free haircuts. They had
Friends.
people doing massages, foot massages. It was just like everything about it was just like this just next level experience
I love
on an
that.
island in Norway.
So
So if
that was
Hull Fest still happens, we'd like to come back.
yeah,
Absolutely.
I don't know if they do it, but like we are down. Let's go.
So that kind of leads me on quite nicely to a question that I've asked every single artist this year, right? So basically, this is a little bit, so I feel like you guys are going to understand the question, right? Because sometimes British sarcasm doesn't come across, right? So when Spotify or Apple or insert big corporate brand buys this podcast and we become an exclusive podcast on their platform, right? I'm going to have lots of lovely corporate money to spend, right? Now, rather than investing it back in the podcast, I'm going to blow it all and have a Dream Festival, right? And at Dream Festival, it's going to be the biggest field we can physically get our hands on. And because we've got loads of corporate money, there's no real budget, right? So what I want to know is what you'd like to add to the dream rider of this festival, right? Now, I'm going to just say this now because you are literally the last interview I'm doing this year. And the bar has been set stupid high, right, by Matt of August Burns Red, who said to me, Matt, what I want is I want a full monster truck rally set up at the festival. And no one has kind of like, we've had things that are really cool because people have said to me, Matt, I want this like one bottle of red wine they're making like the south of France. They make like 10 bottles a year, like really niche things, which I really like. What would you like to add? You can have one each since there's two of you.
I'd love to have free pyro included.
Nice, nice.
And then I would love a hot tub and an ice bath in every dressing.
Nice. That can, I mean, I can't remember who it was. The person who I interviewed before you a couple of days ago literally just said to me, Taylor Swift. And I was like, in what capacity do you want Taylor Swift? And she was like, and he said to me, he said, oh, just performing, just hanging around, just being Taylor Swift. And I was like, fair enough.
I'll never play. Just come here.
Yeah, just hanging out. Like. How about you, Dan?
Oh, man. Well, I'll add to Brandon's. I wouldn't mind tossing the sauna into that mix of things, too, just to have the full spread of spa zone. But I mean, if we could put anything on there and I could just keep it and that's mine, I would put a 1954 unplayed saxophone, the Selmer Mark VI, the most renowned saxophone ever made.
Everyone gets one.
If everybody can have one of the first models of Mark VIs ever made, that would be pretty fucking sick.
Amazing stuff.
I would take that. Yeah,
I love that.
And also, Dan wants our entire dressing room made of weed.
Made of weed?
Yes.
Made of weeds or made of weed?
Yeah.
Marijuana.
Okay, that's just want to clarify what we said. For
the whole
sure.
Dressing room is made of
ganja.
Ganja.
The Mary Jane.
I mean, that kind of, because you like I say, you're the last interview I'm conducting, but there's people after you that I've already interviewed. It kind of works quite nice in the symmetry because the very first guest we had on literally just went, can I have weed on my rider? And he went, oh, my PR's going to like kick my ass for it. I was like, it's fine. You can have marijuana.
Getting weed on your rider is not hard.
No,
for sure. Someone should tell that band, but they should just ask.
Yeah, I mean, they're a British-based band, so I feel like it's a little bit more difficult than being an American-based band, but there we go.
We're bands. This is easy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So as we kind of come to the end of the year and things, I'm asking a few guests and stuff as I do these, is there any kind of personal achievements that you're particularly proud of in 2023?
I think we have a lot. I think we started the year / ended last year at sort of a place in our band where we had like a goal trajectory and things we wanted to accomplish, and we did all of them. I mean, just from the touring aspect to everything. So I mean, I think playing some shows with Iron Maiden this year was fucking pretty huge for me.
For sure, how was that?
But I think it felt good for me to like I said, we made goals last year and we were doing things very specifically to kind of end up in a place, and it's exactly where we wanted to go. Like this whole year is just panned out, so to speak, which is rare in the music industry.
Absolutely. How about you, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, similar. I mean, where we were a year ago, as far as where our heads were at, as far as what we need to do to grow our band and keep the party going. This past year for us has been the most like wild year we've had in a really long time. As far as like, it'd be like, we planned, you know, we had a tour we were doing Nothing More and Asking's Alexandria and States. And then one with Bullet that we did earlier this year, where that's all we really had lined up. And then it was like, as soon as one would finish, we finished one, like another opera, we got the Trinity of Terror offer to go out with that whole thing, which was massive, you know, and a lot of it was arenas and stuff. And we were supposed to be done for the year. And we're like, got the opportunity. We're like, oh my gosh, we can't not do that. That'd be incredible. So we went and did that. And then Even when we started planning this tour that we did, just got off of with Memphis Mayfire, it was supposed to just be a headlining tour. And then all of a sudden, Brandon and Maddie talked and they were like, we should do something together. And we're like, all right, let's maybe make it a co-headlining tour. But because of the way schedules lining up, we couldn't play all the shows together. So some would be us by ourselves and some would just be us and them. But then all of a sudden we got another offer to do direct support to Godsmack. And we're like, yeah, let's go do that for six shows. And then we've got another offer to do three shows with just us and Iron Maiden. We're like, that's an insane lineup. Did they know about this? Because that's wild. Like, okay, yeah, let's just go play some shows with us and Iron Maiden. This is insane. Like, okay. Like just offers that we've just never gotten anything like that. And then just the other week, like again, we're supposed to be done for a little bit here. And we got a call from Avenged Sevenfold and they're like, hey, we're playing a show down in San Diego. Do you guys want to come play with us? It's like in a week. We're like, let's throw a crew together and just get down there. Yeah, let's go.
I love
So, and
that.
that was, I mean, it's just, I don't know, opportunities just coming out of the woodworks right now. And even this tour coming up here is the best selling tour that we've had in a long time. I mean, years. And we're selling out shows like weeks before even getting there. We've never done that in our whole career. So we're like, this is wild. Like, we cannot, especially in the UK. The UK and Germany are holding it down right now. It's going to be epic.
It's really where it started is last year doing that Nothing More Asking Alexandria tour in the States, and then doing the Bullet support tour we did in the UK and Europe. It was like, okay, that's the starting point. And then it was ending with headlining and then headlining in Europe, UK too. And like Dan said, to have like a handful of shows that are already sold out, like almost half of them are very close. So it's like one of those things where it's all just panning out, which feels great. Thanks, Europe and UK, for being awesome.
Yeah. I'll take the credit for the UK at least. We do try.
Except for, I would say 98% your fault for
My
sure.
well, there we go. There we go. So, gentlemen, I've got a couple of, I've got one final question for you. It's a question I've asked every single artist in the last 3.5 years that's done this podcast. It's a very simple question, but it's personable to you. What is the best thing about being in a band for you both personally?
You want to go first? Yeah, I mean, I know all of us are in a similar boat, especially Brandon and myself. I mean, we live and breathe music. We've been loved it since we were kids, since we were as far back as you can remember. It's just been a drug, a thing that you don't even have to think about because it just makes you have to think about it all the time. My head is a constant jukebox of music that I have no control over until I want to try to have some control over it and write a song with it or something. But obsessing over playing instruments and just it's just you don't even have to tell us to do it. We have to, So being in a band is a platform to getting to do what we love to do, getting to travel all over the world. You get to play music, all the time with your friends, have a great time. It's like it's the best job that exists. I mean, there's no cooler job than being in a band. So it's all of that.
Love that. Have a few, Brandon.
I think that I think the thing that sticks with me the most is like sitting in a room with my best friends creating something and seeing what it does to other people. Because like I feel like being in a band like keeps you young because you just keep flashing back to how you felt as like a kid. Like I consistently see myself in the crowd reacting how I did to bands that I loved. You know what I mean? So it's like the fact that we can like pour ourselves into a song and people can relate, or it can help them, or it can, make them feel something. Like I think that's a beautiful part of life. And that's such an honor to get to do with people, to kind of share with people. It's reoccurring. Every time you get to play a show or put out a song and you see it all the time. People screaming the words back at you or singing to you, and it's like that's fucking crazy to me. Because at the end of the day, we're five dudes that love what we do and love making music. So the fact that it can resonate on a level that it does is awesome.
Lovely job. Gentlemen, this has been a fucking pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for all the years of music that's gotten me through some tough times in my teenage years and still fucking holding it down today with the riffs and stuff, man. It's fucking wicked. So thank you very much. The EP is out everywhere. A Torch in the Dark. Go and stream it. Go and buy it. Go and see them on tour in the UK and Europe. Yeah, thank you so much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks.
Cheers, guys. See you later.